Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Cancer is a scary word that used to be whispered by families. Even today when it's brought up, the discussion is hushed. This makes it very difficult to know your family's history. Essential information in order to determine an individual's risk for developing cancer through genetic testing. If you have a family history of cancer, you may have been reluctant to get tested. Why find out the results if there's nothing you can do about it?
Our next guest says there is something you can do about it, and you shouldn't let your fears get in the way. Dr. Theodora Ross is an oncologist, scientist, cancer gene hunter, and someone who is worried over her own family's history of cancer. Her insight into both sides of this issue led her to write A Cancer in the Family, Take Control of Your Genetic Inheritance. Her book is an authoritative go-to for people facing inherited cancer and encourages readers to make decisions that will keep them and their families healthy.
Dr. Ross, welcome to Take Care.
Hello.
You're in a unique position to guide those with a family history of cancer, and your book brings all that expertise together. And you say that it takes courage to look at our genetic inheritance, but that's how we take control of our future health and ensure the best outcome. So tell us your own story of how you came to this decision.
To investigate my own genetic inheritance?
And, yes, to investigate your own genetic inheritance and how that enabled you to bring a perspective to the book that isn't currently out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, so you started out with courage and upside of genetic inheritance and why would we do it. And, yes, my own experience was that, you know, in the mid-1990s, we started to discover these cancer genes, BRCA1, BRCA2, and in the process of that, while all those discoveries were happening, my own family was having cancer. So my sister was 35 years old, had breast cancer. She died when she was 38, and that was all in the mid-90s, or, you know, early 90s. And then these genes were discovered. So you'd think at that point, I'd say, wow, interesting. But no, at that time, people talked about, well, why would I want to know? There's nothing I can do. And we really didn't have much that we could do. We could test and, you know, find out that people had one or two genes that we knew of, but we didn't have a lot of genes that we were looking at. And then as time went on, they figured out that if patients had these mutations, they could do things, either be surveyed more, have more mammograms, but most importantly, they could prevent getting cancers or reduce their risk of getting cancers by having prophylactic surgeries, removing breasts, removing ovaries. And at that point, when we started to see those data, it became clear that knowing some of your genetic inheritance was really important.
So you say that when it comes to most health decisions, knowing is better than not knowing. But as you just said in that answer, yeah, some people fear that, yes, finding out they have a genetic predisposition to cancer will just scare them because,
exactly,
they may feel there's nothing they can do about it. So before we,
yes,
get into cancer genetics, let's just stay with the psychological, because,
yes,
you tell some poignant stories and you just kind of glossed over it, really. But you yourself put your head in the sand a little bit because you didn't want to spend too much time thinking, this could be in my family and maybe I should be doing something about it. And you mentioned that,
right,
you got a melanoma on your leg and then that,
yes,
kind of triggered your thought, like, why would this doesn't even make sense. So just talk,
right,
talk about that in case there are people listening,
yes,
that want,
yes,
to do something, but they really are afraid to move forward.
Right. In fact, my family was part of a genetic study where we were looking at genes to see if there were predisposition mutations running throughout the family tree. Even with that, I didn't show much interest. I'm a scientist, a physician. I looked on the sidelines, but then in 2004, I had a melanoma, and I was too young to have a melanoma. I don't have the kind of skin that would give me a melanoma, plus I have a family history of a sister with early onset breast cancer and many other cancers in the family. And so I thought, well, I better check this out, and asked a friend who is a geneticist if I could talk to her, and she said, yeah, sure. Instead of me talking to her, she had me talk to her and a genetic counselor. And this genetic counselor was at Ohio State University. And she opened up my eyes to genetics. It was remarkable. Here I was, a breast cancer doctor, taking care of breast cancer patients, doing BRCA1, BRCA2 tests. And still, I didn't see it in myself. It was very interesting. The old truthiness and hiding things and secrecy around cancer, all that psychology, that was alive and well in me and my family. For sure.
Yes, you know what? I wasn't going to ask you about Stephen Colbert's truthiness, but you do have a whole chapter dedicated to it. So since you just mentioned it, just briefly bring us up to date on why you chose to use truthiness as a chapter heading.
Oh, well, truthiness, you know, it's a great word supposedly coined by Colbert, although I think people could argue with him that it occurred before him, but he likes to take credit. But it's just something that seems like the truth or something that we want to exist, and so we call it the truth. And a lot of health is like that. You know, we ignore everything. We think doctors can't do anything. They're not going to be able to help us if I get sick, so I might as well just ignore it until I get really sick and then die. People don't go to the doctor when they're healthy. And so it's very easy to be truthy about things that are prevention-oriented.
So let's switch gears right now and talk about gene mutations.
Sure.
If you test positive for a gene mutation, does that mean you have 100% chance of getting the disease, or are there other factors like environmental factors?
Yeah, you definitely do not have a 100% chance of having the disease, the cancer that particular mutation is associated with. And that can, the ranges of your lifetime risk, your chance of having it in your lifetime, can go from 10% to 87% to 90%, depending on the gene. I guess there are a few genes which we don't need to talk about. There's just a few that really do. An adenomatous polyposis coli gene, which leads to polyps and colon cancer. That's pretty much 100%. But most of the time, most of the mutations that we test for, it's a range of risks. And those are all modified by the environment. If you smoke, you drink, you don't exercise, etc.
In your book, you include a family pedigree that charts your family's medical history.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person suspects there's a history of cancer in their family, is this a good first step, charting out the history?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's not going to be completely accurate. You'll probably get some of the cancers wrong. It's well known that, you know, Uncle Joe didn't tell Aunt Gladys exactly what he had because there's all that cancer secrecy stuff still alive and well. But still, putting down, you know, which side of the family has this, which side of the family has this, what kind of cancers, and if you can, talking to a genetic counselor, they can help you so much because they can go to the physicians, you know, they can go to the physician's office and get records that will document what your family actually had. And that is a two-way street because it helps researchers when we have accurate family histories. But it also helps you because then we can decide, well, what kind of syndrome are we really thinking about?
And we're going to talk in a little while about seeing a genetics counselor and what's involved.
Yep.
I just wanted to mention that you're listening to Take Care. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Take Care is a health and wellness show produced by WRVO Public Media. And our guest for this segment is Dr. Theodora Ross, who has a new book out called A Cancer in the Family, Take Control of Your Genetic Inheritance. Dr. Ross directs the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center's Cancer Genetics Program and has her own personal story to tell. And we're addressing that right now. And Linda just asked you about just starting to chart it out. And to even if your family keeps cancer a secret, if you suspect aunts or uncles that might have had it or people in your own family, to start asking questions, maybe not right at the Thanksgiving table, but discreetly, and kind of mapping out the whole family, immediate family tree, really, and what diseases are there. One question I had is there a genetic test for every inherited form of cancer? And what causes the cancer in those cases where there is no genetic mutation found?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't. There is 20,000 genes in our genome. We test for, you know, when it comes to cancer, 35 to 40 on these panels. we don't know every gene that causes cancer when it's broken or predisposes to cancer. So we have a lot more to learn for sure. So there's definitely the mystery patients that we have family histories with one particular cancer or two different cancers going throughout the family, and they're really interesting, and we still haven't been able to figure out what the gene is that is broken in that family. So we don't know all the genes.
Can you give us a few examples of the most common genetically inherited cancers and how we can reduce the risk?
Okay. The most common genetically inherited cancers or cancer syndrome, these are syndromes we're talking about. You have a gene mutation, it will lead to a syndrome. So the most common one is something called Lynch syndrome. Not a great name, but it's named after the great Henry T. Lynch, who is essentially the founder of cancer genetics. But Lynch syndrome predisposes individuals to colon, endometrial, ovarian, pancreatic, and a few other cancers. This is the most common, this is a remarkable fact, this is the most common cancer genetic syndrome. It's caused by mutations in these mismatch repair genes. And only 5% of the people with this syndrome actually know they have it.
Because they would have no reason to know they had it until they had cancer, and if no one else in their family had one of these cancers, no one got tested. Is that
right?
This
is the problem. There's a huge issue of why would I want to know something if I don't have a problem? This is the problem with this. This is a huge problem because if you think about the most common cancer genetic syndrome, it's about 1 in 300. It's that common. And people don't know it. And if they knew they had it, they could get frequent colonoscopies and essentially have a normal lifespan.
But we see a lot of advertisements for finding out your genetic history. Is something like Lynch syndrome, in other words, it may show up, but
it's not on any of the, you know, the direct-to-consumer tests.
That's what I wondered, because that's the problem. You don't – it's like investigating a murder when nobody is murdered. So how do you investigate?
That's a great one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Right. So we actually have – I mean, it is a huge problem in the cancer genetics world. We are always discussing how do we educate doctors? How do we educate patients? How do we educate nurses, et cetera, et cetera? How do we get the word out that people, we can do something about this? This is a simple thing. Just find out this mutation, got the mutation, then you have these colonoscopies. People live long instead of getting colon cancer and dying. It is a remarkable thing. And so, one, write a book and send it to everybody you can think of. Two, one of the things we're doing here at UT Southwestern is we've decided to, instead of using insurance, we're just calling people, sending out cards, we're putting questions in all of our GI clinics about colon cancer history, history of endometrial cancer, any of these. And even if there's a hint of a history, we then have a genetics navigator call the patients, take their family history, and then if they have a risk from family history that's modest, it doesn't have to be really high, we're going to give them a free test for Lynch syndrome, because we're going to try to see if we just do that. We're not going to go through insurance. If we get that done, will that be a way to increase the uptake of these? You know, is that an issue?
All right. So here's the question: you say a free test. If the patient were paying out of pocket, what's the expense of this test?
Well, frequently, insurance will pay, and so the expense is zero to a small copay. We're going to lower our limits, so we're going to actually do it, make it so that there are some insurance wouldn't pay, but there's still a little bit of a risk, so we're going to try to do that. They would have to pay for this probably $500 out of pocket. Things out of pocket are cheaper than paid for by insurance.
So here's my question. Let's say I am an ovarian cancer survivor, which I happen to be. Let's say I have two daughters, which I happen to have. Let's say they're women in their 20s.
Yes.
They should be tested for Lynch syndrome, is what you're saying.
Well, for ovarian cancer in particular, now, for ovarian cancer, there are many different genes that can be associated with ovarian cancer. If a person has ovarian cancer, they have a ticket to a genetic test. Any insurance company will pay for a panel test for ovarian cancer genes, and Lynch syndrome is one of those.
So let's use this example that Linda happened to use. If a woman had ovarian cancer premenopausally before the age of 50, and she has two daughters, is it most important that this first person get the genetic test? Because if she tests positive, then clearly her daughters could have inherited the gene. Would there ever be a case where she tested negative, but her daughters could have tested positive?
Only if the father of the daughters is carrying a gene mutation.
I see.
But it can't skip generations. So that's why mom needs to be tested.
Mom needs to be tested, and because she got the cancer early, any insurance company
But in fact, for ovarian cancer, it doesn't matter the age.
That the insurance will pay 100%.
All right, I'm going to ask a quick question in here, because before we even get into what would be involved in seeing a genetic counselor, one of the things we keep talking about is family history, family history.
Yes.
And what we have to recognize in this day and age is we're a multicultural society, people coming in from other countries, people estranged from family members, people adopted or blended families. What do you do if it turns out that a family history is simply not obtainable? Because that seems to be the crux of the matter. You're more likely to be able to move forward if you have a solid past that you can document.
Yeah, very good question. So first of all, those people who do have a family, the biological family for which they can document these things, are going to help those people who don't have a family to document these things. But people who are adopted or estranged and don't have a family history, genetic testing is getting cheap enough now. That is a very reasonable thing to say, hey, you know what, I want to have a genetic test that's pretty comprehensive that will tell me about my health risks. We have people who come in for cancer in particular because that's kind of high profile, but there are other things to test for, who come in and they say, I just want this test and I'm going to pay for it, and they will. And they're getting cheap enough now that it's becoming easier to do.
Dr. Ross, does your primary care physician have to refer you to a genetic counselor, or can you just look one up and go yourself?
It depends, I think, based on your insurance. But, you know, most genetic counselors, believe it or not, don't charge for their visits. And so if you were to call me and say, I want to see you and one of your genetic counselors, we would just get you in.
And then, is there counseling available to help the person cope with any unexpected or bad news that the patient receives as part of the training of a genetic counselor? Besides the science, are they trained like a therapist is to talk about the more emotional dimensions?
What a wonderful question. I just love that. Nobody's asked me that before, but it's one that we've been talking about. We've got to write an op-ed on. We had a patient come in who was, and I have to tell you a story to get to the answer, who came in who... we went through all the genetics. We had this long conversation about genes and this and this and that and what she needed to be tested for. And she seemed like she was getting everything and all was really good. And 45 minutes into the session, we said, is everything clear now? She said, yeah. She said, now, when do I get my counseling?
Okay.
And there you have it right there. Now, our genetic counselors, they have a emotional IQ that's in the genius level. They're remarkable in their ability to connect with patients, but they are not therapists. They're there to talk to you about genetics and talk to you about the psychological effects of the knowledge and what do you really want to do and blah, blah, blah. But they're not trained therapists. They have no experience in that and probably no interest in that. But they really are, they're kind of in between because they're remarkable as human beings.
Thank you so much for joining us on Take Care. It's so thought-provoking, a wonderful book. It's part memoir and part advice and science. A Cancer in the Family, Take Control of Your Genetic Inheritance. And the author is our guest today, Dr. Theodora Ross. She is the director of the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center's Cancer Genetics Program, and she wrote this book to encourage people to make decisions that will keep them and their families healthy. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you.